granted us, more so to be entrusted of the pulpit. It's a great honor for me, a privilege for me, a huge responsibility for me that I don't, you know, just take for granted. But we're so glad that we could be here, and we're so blessed to be able to present what the Lord is doing in the country of Vietnam. The presentation is but a glimpse of what God is doing. Our God is a God of wonders. And our God is a God of that has no, you know, nothing is impossible with God. And so I want to thank you, Pastor, and your wife, and the church for having us in your Sunday evening service. And thank the Lord also for Brother Tim, Thomas, for working out to introduce us probably more to Pastor, and for what also he has done in the ministry, specifically up in the north, in Hanoi. And also thankful to Brother Dan and Melanie for opening their home to us to have a place while we are here in the next few weeks. When we came to Vietnam in 2001, we were the only Filipino missionary that is laboring in a country of almost 100 million people. 100 million people. I have visited a few churches here in the United States, and almost in every place we go, there have been men that were in Vietnam that fought the war. And some have come home, you know, not as heroes, not well received, but I want you to know that what you did there is not in vain. You might not realize it. You might think it was a lost cause, so to speak. But it opened up to something that will ultimately be for God's glory and for God's honor. And the war may have been lost, so to speak, but really there's a war here that has already been won. Because we're not fighting here for victory, we're fighting from victory. And so when we first came to Vietnam, we're the only family there, almost 100 million people. We labored in Saigon for about 15 years before we ventured going up to the north. And for so many years, there was nothing about North Vietnam that was good. But I had always believed that the Vietnamese people, the North Vietnamese people, are also souls that need a Savior, that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so 2015, that's when we started the first Independent Baptist Church in Hanoi. And we organized that church last year with a little over 30 chartered membership. And last year, we started going farther north in Echo Park. That's the new place that we are reaching. Hanoi has 9 million people. 9 million people with not a single Independent Baptist Church. That's the situation in Vietnam. So we thank the Lord for what He's doing. I wish I could have all the time to share everything, but God has been faithful. God has been good to us. And now we're in the process of graduating 5 young men that will be taking on the ministry in Vietnam. That has been the new paradigm of what we're doing, really training young men that will take over the ministry. Because as has been said, without success, there is no successor. And so if we be there and the church is only there when we're there, and when the missionary leave, there's no church, I think that's kind of a failure. Because it has to be the Vietnamese people that will reach the Vietnamese people. And so that's where we are right now. Next year we will be graduating 5 students from our Bible Institute. And we pray for another batch. Most of these young men are children of North Vietnamese armies, militaries, like Brother Kyle, Brother Silas, who will be going to Saigon to start the work there, to work there. So pray for us and pray for what the Lord is doing there. As I said, when we first left the Philippines, we were the only Filipino missionary laboring there. And in fact, when we surrendered to go to Vietnam, some of the pastors questioned me why I would be going to a country that was closed. Some pastor approached me and asked, "Brother Espino, why go to a country that is closed? How do you even function as a missionary where you cannot be identified as a missionary?" I said, I don't know, to be honest, Pastor. I don't have all the answers. But, you know, Vietnam is close, but hell is not close. And every day people are dying and going to hell. Vietnam is close, but heaven is not closed. And God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Vietnam may be closed, but you'll be surprised. The hearts of the Vietnamese people are not closed. You know, there'll be places that you think they're open, but it seems like the people are closed. And then there are places that you think is like the iron curtains and the bamboo curtains, whatever curtains it is, but then the people are open with the gospel. And that's where we are. And between Saigon and Hanoi and the central part, the Lord is opening up a lot of opportunities for us. There are oppositions. They're always together. Opportunities will come with oppositions. But God is doing the work. And for as long as God will see fit to use us, my wife and I, by the way, happy Mother's Day also. I thank the Lord for my mother who brought me to Sunday school. She was my Sunday school teacher. And her wedding was the first wedding of the Bible, of the first Bible Baptist church in our island. So he brought me to Sunday school. She was my toddler's class teacher. How about having a mom that's your Sunday school teacher? So I grew up like this. And then I'm also thankful with my wife, if you will please stand, the mother of my two daughters. So her name is Mary. Very easy to remember. And we have two daughters, Michelle and Rachel. So once again, thank you. Thank you for having us tonight. And I hope the presentation was a blessing. And I hope you will pray for us in what the Lord is doing in Vietnam. If you will, please, I would like to invite everyone to stand and turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. Very familiar account in 1 Kings chapter number 17, beginning in verse 8, all the way to verse number 16. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses number 8 to verse number 16. And if you're there, say amen. Amen. Beginning in verse number 8, following as I read this passage, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering up sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse number 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did it many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Shall we pray? Father, we humbly come before you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for what we have heard in the singing, in the testifying. We thank you, Lord, for what is represented here in our midst, the wonder-working power that you have done in our lives, the grace and mercy that you have bestowed in our lives, calling us unto salvation by your Son, Jesus Christ, and calling us unto service, to be able to serve you and to be able to glorify and magnify your name, to be a witness for you, to declare your glory even among the heathen. Thank you, Father, for the joy of serving Jesus. Thank you for Pastor McGovern even allowing us to be a part of this service tonight. And thank you for your people. May you, Lord, be exalted and magnified in all that will be said and done tonight. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated, please. I would like to speak on a message that I simply entitled tonight, At the Bottom of the Barrel. At the bottom of the barrel. We're familiar with the story, familiar with the narrative here. The background of the story begins in verse 1, where Elijah is introducing himself as God's appointed messenger to deliver and proclaim his message to King Ahab and the nation of Israel. This was a nation that has turned its back against God. A nation that has rebelled against God. Ahab was a wicked king. His queen was a wicked queen. And the Lord was about to judge them with drought for the next 3.5 years. And Elijah would be the messenger that would deliver that message. A message that would not be delightful for the wicked monarch. You know what? Even as God's people, we would be tend to be choosy and picky with the message that would really delight us. Do you know that sometimes we have the tendency, even as independent, fundamental Baptist people, to try to think, you know, that the place, the church is, you know, a place for us to be, you know, to be entertained. Well, the church has not been designed to be a place of entertainment. The church has not been designed to be a place where we please people. The only person we please in His church and we glorify in His church is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We exhort, we edify, we educate, and we equip people. But this is not a place of entertainment. And so Elijah delivered the message, and of course it did not delight King Ahab and his queen. And so now he is in danger. Verse 2 and 3, we find the Lord instructing Elijah to turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. That was the instruction of the Lord. Go eastward. Hide by the brook Cherith. And then verse 4, we find the Lord ensuring Elijah of his provision. That's why the Bible says, it says, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You have to be there. He has to be there. God's provision will be there. God's protection will be there. Are you there? Are you where you're supposed to be tonight? You know, I've been serving the Lord for 35, 36 years, and the Lord has never failed to provide our needs. He has always been faithful and true. Regardless, I can tell you stories after stories with my wife, my family, laboring in the Philippines for 12 years, planting churches, being called to Vietnam, having to adjust with the ministry in Vietnam. But the Lord has always been true. He has always been faithful. As long as you are there where you're supposed to be. And so the Lord was ensuring Elijah of his provision, and Elijah obeyed. Because as you might already know, I'm sure you already know, nothing new here. Obedience is the pathway to blessings. Obedience is the pathway to blessings. And so verse 5, Elijah instantly obeying, and sure enough, he was there in Brook Cherith, and the Lord was providing his needs. The ravens, that's what God said. Behold, I have commanded the ravens. Of all the fowls, all the birds, it would be a scavenger, stingy ravens that would be commanded. And it's in past tense. I have already commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Sure enough, morning and evening, the ravens were bringing Elijah Bojangles and Cracker Barrel, you know. I love Cracker Barrel. I cannot help it. I love cornbread. I love rice, of course, but I love cornbread. And the ravens were bringing, you know, cornbread and meat. Where the ravens were getting those, I don't know. Maybe from the palace. And so Elijah was being provided. Now he was drinking out of the brook, but something happened in verse 7. The brook dried up. The Bible says it came to pass that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Do you think, what happened? Why is the brook dried up? Wasn't this the place where God had directed the man of God, the servant? Was not this the place where he would be provided? Isn't this his needs? Has the Lord forgotten his promise to Elijah? Has the Lord forsaken Elijah? Not at all. But sometimes God has to take away, sometimes the brook has to dry up. I don't know, maybe some of us have had our share of our brooks drying up. Sometimes the brook dries up because there will be times when we tend to trust the brook. We forget the God that provided the brook. And sometimes the brook has to dry up because there's a new direction for us. There is starry path for us. Because sometimes God has to take away something from us for us to be able to see what is beyond and where God is directing us. The brook dried up, and then we begin our story. Then the word of the Lord came unto him. You know, God's word is always there. God's presence is always there. And following this, we have a specific place. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon. Again, dwell there. There was a specific person. I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. You know, the New Testament tells us that in Luke chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, but I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. But when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. What is the lesson here? The lesson here is God is very specific. God is very precise in the way that He works and He orchestrates in the lives of His people. Specific person. There was a specific purpose. It says in verse number 9, the last part, there to sustain thee. And so what did Elijah do? Again, he obeyed. He walked 67 miles. From a dried brook to a burning place. The word Zarephath means a burning place. He was supposed to be hiding from Jezebel, but he would be headed to the very hometown of Jezebel. And sure enough, the moment he entered the gate of the city, the Bible tells us, behold, the widow woman was there. He did not even have to look and to use the GPS or the navigation equipment. You know, the widow woman was there. And he did not even give his prayer card or his recommendation letter to the widow woman. I'm missionary Elijah. I'm being sent here by, you know, Independent Baptist Church to Zarephath. He did not even do that. He just started asking for a vessel of water. And before the woman could even get the vessel of water, he was asking for something to eat. This is a Baptist preacher. Yes, this is a Baptist preacher. She was not even halfway getting a vessel of water. And, you know, remember, this is drought. And there was really scarcity of water here. Before she could get the water, he was asking for a morsel of bread to eat. And that's when reality comes in. The woman said, I have not a cake. I have handful of meal in a barrel. I am at the bottom of the barrel. I am gathering 2 sticks, maybe 2 chopsticks from Vietnam. I'm gathering. What can you fix? What can you cook with 2 sticks? I'm going to go in, dress it for me. If you were Elijah, and if you were there, and this woman tells you, this is a mother. And this is a widow that's telling you, this is for me and for my son. This is our last meal. We're going to eat it and then we are going to die, starve to die. You would think, oh, this is a big mistake. This is the wrong address. But that's not what Elijah said. 3 simple things and we will close tonight. At the bottom of the barrel, number 1, there is a test of faith. At the bottom of the barrel, there is a test of faith. First of all, there is a test of faith for Elijah. There was a test of faith here in following the direction of God. Elijah has to believe and to obey and to trust that God was not making a mistake in redirecting him. You know, it takes faith for us to follow God's directions. That's why the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It takes faith to follow God's direction. And you know, we are a people that sometimes, you know, many times we just don't know how to follow directions. I have blown so many things because I don't even, you know, read the manual sometimes. I just plug it in. And it's supposed to be 110, and I'm plugging it to 220. His faith has to be tested in following direction. His faith has to be tested in facing dangers in the land. Because he was supposed to be in hiding. His life was in danger. But do you know what? The safest place on earth is to be in the center of God's will. That's the safest place on earth. We know stories after stories in the Bible. I mean, you might think you're safe here, but if you're not supposed to be here, you're supposed to be there. This is going to be a dangerous place for you. When David was supposed to be at the forefront of the battle, and he decided to tarry in Jerusalem and started walking on the top of his rooftop of his house, that became a problem. But it takes faith to believe and to follow direction even when you think there is danger. But not only that, his faith has to be tested in foretelling the deliverance of the Lord. Because it takes faith to tell a helpless widow woman, fear not, go as thou hast said, for thus saith the Lord. You know, it takes faith for men of God to come behind this pulpit and tell God's people, thus saith the Lord. Many of the failures and the tragedies and the calamities we have in our ministries, even as independent Baptist, you know, churches. I come from independent Baptist. I come from Bible Baptist. This is how I grew up since nursery. It's because there's no more faith behind the pulpit. People are beginning to be afraid to speak the truth. It takes faith to tell the widow woman, thus saith the Lord. There is also a test of faith for the widow here, because it would have been one thing for the widow to say, I believe. I'll be behind you. I understand what you're saying. Like one of the testimonies saying, you know, earlier about, you know, thanksgiving, being thankful when things are okay, but it's different when things are not okay. The just shall live by faith. We have a song when we were, you know, growing up in Sunday school. It's easy to have faith when things are going well, to trust the Lord when things are not so hard. But when the problem comes and the answer is not in sight, God wants us to believe that He can make things right. Please help us, Heavenly Father, to trust in You today. You've always answered in the past. Help us find Your way. There was a test for the widow woman. But you know what? There's also a test of faith for us. Because again, the just shall live by faith. We will be tested. And the real test of faith will come when we are at the bottom of the barrel. James tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. One thing, nothing. Is your faith being tested right now? How are you doing in your test of faith? When we were little, we go to school, we walk like around 4 or 5 miles to go to school, elementary and high school. Along the way, there will be guava trees. I don't know if some of you understand what's guava, but it's a fruit tree. And the organic ones, not the new genetic, you know, things they're growing where the fruit is just right there. They're really tall. But the limbs, the branches really were very strong. So during October, November, December, the guavas would be ripe. And many times, you know, that's where we ended up. We don't even get to go to school because we just climb the fruit trees. They're like monkeys, you know, climbing there and then. But you know what? Where the fruit is really, where the ripe fruit would be, it would be out in the, on the limbs. So we would outrun each other. We would race. We would go to the trees, all, you know, all over the place, and we would climb. But many of my friends, they would only climb halfway. They would be afraid to climb out into the limbs. That's where the fruit is. So we would be hanging there like monkeys, you know. We would be tucking in our t-shirts because we'll be reaching out for the fruit. We will be putting inside. And then down there, our friends will be asking, come on, Arnold, give me some, give me some. I would get the hard ones, those that were not ripe. Very mean, huh? But while we're hanging there, we will be eating the ripe yellow fruits of the guavas. How are you in your test of faith? At the bottom of the barrel, there is a test of faith. Secondly, at the bottom of the barrel, there is a true meaning of first. At the bottom of the barrel, there is a true meaning of first. In verse 13, this is what Elijah said. And to the widow, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. You know, in this story, we see here first the presentation of the plan. God's plan for the widow woman. God's plan for us. As God's people. His plan begins with, as Elijah said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. That's the plan. Elijah was sent there to be sustained, but ultimately, as the woman would step out by faith, the widow woman will be the one that will be even greatly blessed. But she has to understand the plan. The plan begins with bring ye a morsel of bread in thine hand. Sounds familiar, right? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It begins with bringing. You know? And I share this because in the Philippines, as I share, you know, I shared a few times, you know, we have this kind of accent that is, you know, very obvious. So sometimes we say tithe. It's not bringing all the tithes. It's bringing all the tithe. And sometimes you also have this kind of giving also in the Philippines. First fruits. Sometimes the way I hear is first fruits. Bring ye all the tithes. The Philippian church is a good example. The plan and purpose of God in our lives does not end in just getting saved tonight. You know that? And then just one day going to heaven. If that was the case, then as soon as we got saved, He would have taken us already home. But we're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. He has a plan and purpose for us. And that would be to be a witness for Him. You know, the Philippian church, in Philippians chapter number 4, we find here in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 15 to 20, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Here comes the verse that many of us really love. But my God shall supply all your need, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever. Amen. You know what? This is not an all-inclusive promise. This is a promise to people, the Philippian church, the Macedonian churches, who were behind the Apostle Paul, who were sacrificially giving even in their deep poverty to get the gospel to the regions beyond. This is the plan. But there was a problem here. The predicament and the problem, we see here the woman says, I have not a cake, I have a handful of meal, I have a little oil in a cruse, I am gathering two sticks, I'm going to go and dress it for me and for my son, and we may eat it and die. I understand, Prophet Elijah, what you're saying, but we have a problem here. I cannot afford to give. This is our last meal. This is a perspective problem. Everything that the widow woman was looking at was something very little. I cannot afford to give. This is a priority problem. What he's saying is, this is for me and for my son that we may eat it and die. But what did Elijah say? Elijah said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. What is this? This is the principle and the precept. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You know, if I were Elijah, if you were Elijah, you would be thinking, "My, this is a big mistake. This is the wrong address." But that's not how Elijah responded to the widow woman. He told the widow woman, "Put away your fear. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Make me thereof a little cake first." The Bible tells us in Mark 5:36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Be not afraid, only believe. 1 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The real meaning of first comes when we are at the bottom of the barrel, when we are being tested. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." But you know what? It's easy to put Him first. Easy to sing in the choir. Easy to go visitation. Easy to serve the Lord when things are doing well. That's easy to do. But when we are at the bottom of the barrel, when we're going through some tragedies in our life, that's a different story. That's when we really have to seek God's grace and God's mercy in our lives. Many of us are familiar with the story of the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." When Mr. Spafford lost all his business, burned. Then finally, when they were recovering, he sent his family out on a cruise, and then the ship sunk and only his wife survived. That's the story of the song we sing. "When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll," he went back to the very spot where all of his four daughters died. And there he wrote this song. "Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Easy to put God first when everything is well and good. But the real meaning of first comes when we are at the bottom of the barrel. And lastly tonight, at the bottom of the barrel, there is triumph and favor. You know what? Even when we are down at the bottom, when we are in our valleys, God's grace is there. And God's triumph, His victory, is there. Verse 15 and verse 16, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah." She obeyed. She obeyed. "And she and he and her house did it many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." What do we see here? Before we close, first we see here the execution of the scriptures. The execution, the practical application of the word of God. Go, do as thou hast said. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. In the context even of giving and faith promise, this is what Paul said. Now therefore perform the doing of it. Just do it. You believe, do it. Talk is cheap. That as there was readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Faith without works is dead. The execution, the widow obeyed, the widow performed. But not only that, we see secondly here, the enjoyment of the supply. She and he and her house did it many days. This was famine. Severe famine when people all around Zarephath were dying on a daily basis. There was no food. But the Bible tells us she and he and her house did it many days. Her faith is exercised. Her first is exemplified. She begins to experience the faithfulness of the Lord in supplying her needs. My God shall supply all your need. I love this because this is not even in a plural form. It doesn't say, my God shall supply all your needs. I don't think the King James Bible is making a mistake here. It says, my God shall supply all your need. It's a package deal. Not out of His riches, but according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then she experiences God's sovereignty. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. Can you imagine? Every morning, early dawn, this widow woman will be going to her kitchen and checking that barrel. Every morning, that widow woman will go to her kitchen, this small shack, small, you know, nipahat in the Philippines, you know, and checking her cruse of oil, if there was something there. It may not have been full, but there was always something there. And then she will start gathering that, scraping that, you know, barrel of meal. She will start making the cornbread. And then she will be starting the fire in her house. And then the neighbors will see the smoke coming out of her kitchen. And then slowly the neighbors will begin smelling the cornbread. They'll be wondering, where's the cornbread coming from? Every day. What a testimony of God's faithfulness. What a testimony of God's provision. You know, the story here begins with the word of the Lord. It ends with the word of the Lord. You wonder, what if? Just thinking, you know. What if the widow woman really refused to give? What if the widow woman decided, you know, this is our last meal. We really cannot do it. Do you think Elijah would have died of hunger? The ravens already fed him. Do you think the work of the Lord would have ceased, would have stopped? No. Do you know what was really the reason why Elijah was sent there? Not just for Elijah to be sustained, but for this widow woman to learn, to experience a life of faith and to be a channel of blessing. Because nobody is indispensable. You continue the story, you see how God has really worked in the life of this widow. The life of this mother. Or the son that he was raising. But tonight, I don't know where you are. I don't know where we are in our barrel. Maybe you're not at the bottom. Maybe sometimes you have to be at the bottom of the barrel for you to be tested with your faith. Are you putting Him first? Even when things doesn't seem to be going well. Are you experiencing tonight God's favor and God's victories in our lives? Let's pray. Father, we thank You this evening for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Lord, may we be reminded and we may be mindful tonight that there will just be times when our faith will be tested. The just shall live by faith. Faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. And Lord, there will be times when we would really be tested even in how we put You first. But Lord, May we also realize your grace is always sufficient for us. Even though we may be at the bottom of the barrel, maybe we may be at the worst of our calamities, just like Job, losing everything. And yet, he worshipped. Yet, he said, the Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh God, may we bless you and may we honor you in all that with all that is within us. And may we glorify your name even when we are being tested. That we may, Lord, continue to trust you and may we continue to be obedient to you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. May you bless this invitation time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Certainly a very good practical message of taking out what happened with Elijah there. There are many times in life you find yourself at the bottom of that barrel, and there is no question, it is always during those times, it sort of fits with what I preached about this morning, when you're facing difficult trials, that brings out great faith. And it's when you're at the bottom of the barrel that your faith certainly will be tested. And then what you look for right away, just like as he keyed on the word first to develop that point from, and there's truth in that, is what is God's instruction? Seek ye first God during those times. That's what you do. You go to the Lord. You go to the Lord. And then when that reply comes, you execute it. You put some feet to your faith. And true faith will always have works. True faith demonstrates itself in works. You will respond on what you truly believe. And as a result, then of course, you do see God work. And it really is incredible. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you a couple of questions. We are going to go into invitation. But let me ask this right now. Are you certain, if you were to die right now, that you would go to heaven? If you're not certain of that, the greatest need you have, the great by far, nothing compares to it in life. I don't know what struggles you're facing. I don't know what you're going through right now circumstantially. But by far the greatest need you have to come from God is to be saved from the coming judgment when you stand before Him. The entire reason God became a man 2,000 years ago was to save you from judgment, from hell. God does love you. He desires to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. So He Himself came to this earth, lived a perfect life, went to that cross, and what was taking place there was the Son of God was satisfying an eternal justice for your sin. He was suffering in your place for something that you owed. He died for you. He took your sin upon Himself, and the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that He gives you His perfect life. And if you'll come to Him in repentance and faith, He will save you. Is there anyone here who say, Pastor, I think I need that. I'm not certain that heaven is my home. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. Please pray for me. If that is you, would you just raise your hand for me? Anybody here right now? I see some small children. All right, Christian. Are you at the bottom of the barrel or getting close to it? Trust in the Lord. What does He say? That's when faith is tested. That's when faith is used. The Lord spoke to your heart. You come and pray tonight. Father in heaven, bless this invitation, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Page 245.